under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. It is our prayer that as we face the issues, you recognize that we do so based on the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is a matter that God's Word is the truth book. We'll talk about that in a moment. What do you mean we say the truth book? It is truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and following through Revelation 22, 21, we find that it is God's progressive revelation of himself to man. And as we study the Word of God, we recognize more and more, and it becomes more acutely affront and aware in our minds that God is a sovereign God, that he is in control. And I say that at the outset of this broadcast today because there are a lot of Christians today that are defeated, that are depleted, that are simply discouraged and feel that as a result of what we've just witnessed in New York City with the election of a socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist mayor for the city of New York, there's a sense of cold water, if you will, being dumped on all of America as a result of that. And I'm here today to tell you, to warn you, to remind us that God has not abandoned the throne. God is still in control. You remember Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was thrown in a pit. He left the pit to the prison, from the prison to the pinnacle of being prime minister of Egypt. And it's as a result of God's supernatural plan for man. And though his brothers, as Joseph reminded them, meant it for bad, meant it for evil, God meant it for good. God takes the errors, the mistakes, the sin, the direction that man wants to go, and God still uses it, using man's free will, uses the events to bring about his ultimate plan for humanity. And so as we witness what is taking place in New York, my word today to the Christians, conservatives, and patriots, not to fear, God is still on the throne. Not to fear, God is still working things, all things out for good to them that love the Lord, that are called according to his purpose. So as we look at the issues today, we ought to talk about what are the takeaways from Mandami's election. What should we take away from what we see? How should Christians, conservatives, and patriots view what is happening in view of seeing it through the prism of the Word of God? May I remind you, as we look at the Scripture, again, you've heard me say it is the truth book. When the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. "Thy word is truth." And Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." It is not a matter of having God's truth today, and somehow, some way, it needs to be updated, modulated, modified, and corrected in the future days. God's word remains the same. God's word never changes. And ladies and gentlemen, I go back to George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, by the way, it was written and published in 1947, 48, and 49. But Orwell said in that novel, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, today in New York City, there's a lot of untruth being spoken. In fact, we'll look at today as we talk about some of the issues that we need to recognize that in Mondami's, how would you say, gleeful victory speech, he had a totally different mindset, a totally different facial expressions, a totally different, lingo in his communication. It was vicious, viral, and absolutely different from his stump speeches when he was running for office. After the election, he felt he was free to really let the real Zurhan Mondami be seen. And that's exactly what he did, ladies and gentlemen. But may I remind you that we need to stick to what is truth, regardless of what others may say. We'll have, and I've read dozens and dozens of articles about Zurhan Mondami. I've read dozens of articles about the aftermath and what some of the doomsayers are saying. I've read behind a number of those that are the prognosticators of saying, well, maybe it was this, maybe it was that, maybe it was the other. But I want to cut through the chase and talk about some facts today in relationship to what can the Christian expect? What is it redound to? Where is it going? Does God talk about this at all in the Scripture? Does God give us any insight as to what we see taking place and where it's going, not just for New York, but for the nation and for ultimately the globe? Does this have any insight, give us any insight as to what God is saying and what God is doing? I believe it does. We're going to look at some of that today, and I believe it's my hope is, the design purpose of the broadcast today is to bring about some loose ends, to tie these loose ends up and let Christians, conservatives, and patriots look at the big picture through the prism of the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. I don't know about you, but I wake up of a morning in the realization and the recognition afresh and anew that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control. And as a result of that, as I tell people, as a result of knowing that, I can go through the day acting like I've got good sense and not worry about anything that takes place, because I know that God has it all in his hands. In fact, as the old song used to be sung in Vacation Bible School, he's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. God's got the whole wide world in his hands. And that's a very factual, theologically, doctrinally secure statement to be made. But ladies and gentlemen, in wrap up of what I call truth, I like to default, if you will, back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Now, I don't know of any better admonition that is all-encompassing of what we should do as Christians. If Jesus says, I am the truth, then we need to learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend the truth of the Word of God to the end, even to death. And you've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I bring in the name Charlie Kirk. That's exactly what Kirk did. Charlie stood for truth. As a result of that, the detractors of truth, those that hated truth, those that rejected anything that's called morals, ethics, and values, took his life. And as a result of that, we're witnessing today a major spurt of Charlie Kirk followers to want to effectuate a change in the American political system and the scene in America. Many of which are saying they're saved or that they've gotten saved. I pray that that's the case. And I don't point to Charlie Kirk as wearing a halo or walking on water, but I point to what we see as facts in America in relationship to standing for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time gives the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And the best of all, I think I could say, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, how do I find Tools for Time? It's located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find Tools for Time. Atop the flagpole flows Old Glory 24/7. Find the flag in the flagpole, and ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call. Love to hear from you today. Love to have your input, dialogue, and discussion. Where is it going? The election's over. Mondami, for whoever he is, whatever he does, he is the mayor-elect for the city of New York. What will he do? How will it redound to the United States of America? Does it have global impact? Does it have a global effect on the marketplace and with people? What can we expect? What is the outtake? What should we take from this election as Christians and conservatives? With the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God being our source book for where we stand and what we say and what we should grasp and hold on to as Christians and conservatives and as patriots in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the headline news around the world, yes, headline news around the world is about Zohran Mamdani and his election becoming New York City's first Islamic communist mayor. You heard me. The first Islamic communist mayor in America now heads the largest city, about 8 million plus people in New York City. How are we to what are we to take from that? What do we should we believe in relationship to that? I'm looking at an article that says this: Zohran Mamdani becomes the first openly socialist mayor of New York City. Mamdani secured 50% of the votes, while independent candidate and former Governor Cuomo only 41%. Mamdani's consistently campaigned on progressive policies, offering a socialist antidote. And by the way, socialism, Marxism, is communism light. And we need to just simply, and I tried to identify the socialist, Marxist, communist party called the Democratic Party. I want us to understand that Marxism and socialism are simply communism light. And so what we're seeing is coming out from the corners, coming out from the darkness, coming out of the shadows, we see one that is an open communist, that is also an Islamic jihadist, that hates America, hates the Jews, etc., etc. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But this article reads, Mamdani has consistently campaigned on progressive policies. Now, many, some misunderstand the term progressive. In fact, to switch that around, Franklin Graham in his Decision Magazine, I believe it was in March of 2024, said that progressive Christianity is going to send more people to hell than Satan ever dreamed possible. Progressive means outside of the realm of what we would call conservatism, outside the realm of reality, outside the realm of what we would call consistent biblical beliefs. And so the same also when it comes to the political agenda. He continually campaigned on progressive policies, offering a socialist, exchange that word with communist, antidote to New Yorkers who struggle with affordability. Some of these policies included rent freezes, free buses, city-run grocery stores, and child care. Although this clearly appealed to the residences of America's most expensive city, his brazen embrace of socialism raised eyebrows across the political spectrum. Further in the article, it says, I would much rather see a Democrat who has the record of success win than a communist with no experience and a record of complete and total failure, President Trump said on social media post. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now a reality. The first time in the history of America, we have Islam that's risen to the position, communism that's risen to the position, that the majority of the populace in the nation's largest city were following, eating out of the hand of Zohran Mandami. In fact, the major number, I believe the number was like something like 80% of his voters were 30 years old and younger, were white female college graduate individuals that voted for him. Yes, there's a number too, a larger percent of the males that were 30 years old and younger. What I'm trying to say is his election was based on those that have grown up under college professors that were total Marxist, socialist, communist professors, teaching them to hate America, to hate the Constitutional Republic called America, to hate capitalism, and to believe that the utopian dream of making socialism or communism work would be the goal. They've embraced that wholeheartedly in New York City. And I believe it should be a shot over the bow for all of America to recognize it can happen. What am I talking about? That an Islamic communist can win a major seat in government. And may I say to you, it's not the only one. The Socialist Communist Party of America bragged about having Mandami as a candidate. And they, in their previous writings prior to the election, said that if he's elected, Mandami, if Mandami is elected, the article read that we have over 1,000 possible candidates to run in 2026 and 2028 for offices across America. In the state of Virginia, the one that is the just under the governor, it is the one that sits in the position of carrying out a lot of the task and responsibility of the governor's office, is an Islamic female that's now in office, will be going into office in January in the state of Virginia, as the one that is in control of much that will be said and done under the leadership of the Marxist communist governor, female, that was just elected in Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing today. Listen, I want to remind you, in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, 325-30 pages, 25 chapters, I point out that when any city, any state, any nation, when Islam gets to between 2 and 6%, they rise up and demand control in what they do and say. I understand in New York City, about 2 million Islamic jihadists in New York City. And may I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to look at this event and understand what God would have us to take away from it. I'm looking at a headline that says, New York has fallen. Israeli leaders react to Mandami's New York City win. Anti-Semitism has triumphed. Israeli lawmakers and ministers lament election of racist, populist, openly Islamic Zohran Mandami as mayor of New York City. Israeli lawmakers and government ministers expressed dismay Wednesday morning after America's News reported that the New York State Assemblyman Zohran Mandami, a vocal critic of the Jewish state, was elected mayor of New York City in Tuesday's high-stakes vote. The article reads, Mandami, who during the election campaign refused to denounce the global Intifada, vowed to have, that is the global Intifada, he refused to acknowledge it and denounce it, vowed to have Israeli Prime Minister, listen to this, he's vowed to have Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrested if he ever visits New York City. Accused Israel of genocide, used one of the media appearances on election day to double down on his support for the anti-Israel boycott, disinvestment, and sanctions movement. After American News Networks broke this story and declared Mandami is the victor, Israeli National Security Minister responded by lamenting that anti-Semitism has triumphed in New York. Zohran Mandami's election as mayor of New York will be remembered forever as an instance in which anti-Semitism triumphed over common sense. My dummy is a supporter of Hamas, a hater of Israel, and an avowed anti-Semite. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, would you have ever believed that this would happen in America? Our telephone lines are open, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I know you're doing good. You sound good. I tell you what, we're going to reap the whirlwind. If this keeps going the way it's going, and I think in Virginia, they say they're going to bring back the LBGTQXYZ, whatever they call itself, and back into the schools, if I'm not mistaken. And this man, he was saying, now, you're a socialist. And these young people, they think socialism, oh, we could do it better. That is so stupid and crazy to me.
Well, number one, Kenneth, there's not been a success story of Marxism, socialism, or communism any place on the face of the globe for centuries gone by. It has never, never, ever been successful. And the lieutenant governor in Virginia happens to be a female Islamic. And the governor-elect for Virginia is one that is absolutely, you're correct, that she has said that she's going to leave the bathrooms open, the gender neutral from the standpoint of whatever gender you feel. A boy can pass the girl's bathroom and say, I feel feminine, and walk in with no repercussions taken. The mindset is, in this new election, it's going to take Virginians back 6 years, 7 years from where they were with the conservative governor for several years, trying to get it back on track. And by the way, if I can use a little parenthetical footnote, I believe we're witnessing the throwback from where President Trump has taken us as Americans, with the modicum of success and morals, ethics, and values being reinstated in the American educational system, for morals, ethics, and values being reviewed as being good, Christianity is being honorable under the Trump administration. We're witnessing what I think is a harbinger of bad things to happen in the future, with it being taken away from us and as Americans. And I can be bold enough to say this. I believe the nuclear option needs to be exercised with the Senate. I believe they need to do away with the majority, the rule of 61 rather than 50 plus 1 passing legislation. And if they were to do that overnight, hundreds of nominees of President Trump's could be immediately put into office and not left holding and standing for the next 3 years. At the trickle-down rate that we're going now with Trump's nominees being approved, it will take all of the next 3 years with Trump in office, and still 90% of them will never have been approved. He is operating today. Trump is operating today with less than a full force of those that have been appointed by Trump to carry out the task that God's called President Trump to lead us into. So I believe it's time that we recognize all of these things, but Kenneth, at the same time, we need to recognize, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, that it is not hopeless. We're not helpless. God is still on the throne, and we need to depend on Him, look to Him, and get back into our churches and allow the churches to thrive rather than to being apostatized as a result of so-called Christians falling out, being disinterested in and not concerned about the direction that we're going in as a nation, and abandoning God in general. It is a major, major, there is a major need today. If Christians want to see a change in America, if Christians want to see this stopped in what is happening in New York and not spread across America, Christians need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be victorious in our stand for morals, ethics, and values, and biblical truth. Kenneth, you're exactly right. It deserves our prayer. We need to keep looking up, the understanding of the realization that God is still on the throne. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have Mary on the line. Mary, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
This is a bit of a little tidbit of trivia, and I don't know if your listeners have heard this one, but in Virginia, that race for governor, the NAACP endorsed Spangler, the white woman, over Winsome, the black Jamaican and former Marine, who would have been the preferable candidate. And it just shows you where these organizations are going, that the NAACP would rather see the white liberal lefty commie woman than Miss Winsome.
Well, Winsome Sears would have been the ideal candidate. She stood side by side with Youngkin and is carrying out a good conservative policy and plan and procedure for the state of Virginia. I was very prayerful that Winsome Sears would have won the election, but she was defeated by about, 10, 15 points, and Spangler was way ahead of it. And Spangler,
it's just an inside peek at the NAACP and so many of these so-called good organizations and what they're really up to, what their agenda is.
Oh, absolutely. It's just like Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter had no concern about black lives. It was all about gouging and money. It was all about the three black women that started the process of Black Lives Matter. They were all acknowledged themselves as being very, very well-trained Marxists, was their term. Right now they're being investigated by the federal government for theft because they own mansions and just about each one. In fact, I think all three of them owns mansions in several states that was bought and paid for by the donors' money. They were donating money to an organization to protect black people, and it was the furthest thing from the truth. And we've seen that across America. Go ahead.
We can't rest on our laurels. Youngkin got in, and he was good, and look how quickly they got rid of him, and look how quickly things can change. We cannot rest on our laurels when we get a good candidate. And the other thing is, Ms. Winsome, I understand did not run the best campaign. There were funds she could have accessed and was not really on top of her game. So she certainly would have been a very good candidate, good governor, but did not run the best possible campaign.
Well, Winsome Sears' major thrust in her campaign was focusing on keeping boys out of girls' bathrooms and locker rooms and shower rooms, keeping males out of the female sports, and she was right on target. That's the major problem in the northern portion of Virginia. That's the major issue today,
where kids have been hurt.
That's right. Kids have been raped. Kids have been hurt, harmed, females in particular, in their bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms. So she ran on a moral, ethical platform, whereas the opposition ran on the basis of, we're going to be against Trump. Whatever Trump says, we're going to stand against it. Whatever Trump says, we're not going to do it. Trump cannot control Virginians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So also with the Marxist communist in New York, it was running against President Trump. And the thing is, because of the shutdown, the government shutdown, it was the mindset by most citizens that it's the Republicans' fault, Trump's fault, his problem. Therefore, that became the cudgel that won the election for so many of the Marxists, the socialists, the communists in America in this past week. So you're exactly right, Mary.
We need to look up,
and Christian conservatives and patriots need to recognize what's happening and recognize that God is still on the throne and he's still in control. So we need to ask the question, what is God doing? How will God have us to act? What will God do in the future? And that's what we're going to talk about on the broadcast today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your work. Hang in there. Keep up the good fight.
Thank you, Mary. God bless you, and thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What are the takeaways when we see what's happening in New York? How should we respond as Christians, as patriots, as those that are conservatives in America today? I want us to understand just what is it that Mondami said that he would do, and then after he won the election, what did he say in his victory speech? You would think it's two different people, two different personalities, two different individuals when you look at what his victory speech was like and what he said and what he was saying with the soft-toned, mealy-mouth assurance to the people in New York City of what he would do if elected. Two different personalities were on the scene very, very clearly. Ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at today what we should see, what we should understand, what should be the takeaway for conservatives, Christians, and patriots when we see what just happened in New York City with the election of an open, in-your-face, communist Islamic jihadist. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news. Right after the news break, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.